It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Joy Behar on The View says Jesus never claimed to be the Messiah. Joy Behar says a lot of things. Why should she suddenly be accurate regarding the Bible when she's wrong on everything else? For the record, Jesus absolutely claimed to be the Messiah. Now, in most of our New Testament translations, they use the word Christ. Christ is an English version of a Greek word Christos, which was a translation of the word Messiah. We say Messiah in English. That really comes from the Hebrew word Mashiach, means sent one, anointed one. Jesus absolutely made this claim. When he says Christ, he means the Messiah. Matthew 16, he says to Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus told him he was correct. Then you go to Mark chapter 14 at the end of Jesus' ministry at his trial when he's going before the Sanhedrin. He's asked by the high priest, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" Jesus said, "Yes." That was the whole reason he was executed, mostly for claiming deity, but he used the word Christ in that answer. He claimed to be the Messiah. Well, you don't have to believe it, but that is what he claimed. Now, we expect Joy Behar to say stupid things. When she does, it's just another ordinary day, and all is fine with the world. But when the Pope says something controversial, everybody goes to their corner, and if President Trump responds, they go to their corners even more. There is a war of words going on between Pope Leo and President Donald Trump. Many immediately defend the Pope because he's the Pope. They believe in the Pope. They believe in his authority. Others take issue with him because they are Protestant Christians. They've never accepted the authority of the Pope anyway. It does not fit into their theology. One of Trump's latest somewhat encapsulates the issue. He's responding to Pope Leo's critique of our war with Iran. He says, "Will someone tell Pope Leo that Iran has killed at least 42,000 innocent, completely unarmed protesters in the last 2 months, and that for Iran to have a nuclear bomb is absolutely unacceptable? Thank you for your attention to this matter. America is back." All right, so again, some are taking issue with the Pope, some are slamming Trump because, well, they always slam Trump. If he was complaining about a drunk at a party, they'd get just as mad. Others who oppose Trump on everything feel he helped them this time by going after the Pope, since that's more substantial. Others say the Pope should not be commenting on politics and should stick to religion. Others agree with Trump's position but wish he would stop tweeting responses to every criticism he gets. Laura Ingraham said it well, "You don't have to swing at every pitch. Trump got a lot of Catholic votes in the last election. It's not wise to alienate voters. On the other hand, you need to be free to speak your mind, and you can't always make political calculations. Sometimes the concern is more over the way he says it than the fact that he says it." Okay, before I get into the weeds and offer my own two cents, let me back up a little bit for some foundation, for some context. First, I have no problem with any clergyman, be he the Pope, or a cardinal, or a priest, or a Protestant evangelical pastor. I have no problem with any of them speaking on politics. So while I am a strong supporter of President Trump, I take issue with those who say the Pope should just stick to religion and stay out of the political world. I'm a Christian pastor myself. I do not refrain from speaking about politics. I do it all the time on this radio show. I'm doing it right now. I also used to speak at tea parties. As for the Catholic Church, I do not share all of their beliefs, but I don't have any special problem with Catholics either. I'm not one of those people who says Catholics aren't Christians. They accept the same gospel and the same Jesus. They add a lot of stuff that I don't agree with, but they do accept the gospel. That's what's important, salvation. As for popes specifically, well, this is one of the Catholic teachings that I do reject. I do not recognize papal authority as it's taught and defended. I don't agree with the idea of popes. I don't believe Jesus told Peter he would be the head of the church and thus the very first pope. I believe he said Peter would be one of the heads, along with other apostles. In Galatians, we learn that Peter, James, and John are the three pillars. Three pillars. In Acts, James, the brother of Jesus, was leading the Jerusalem council, not Peter, even though Peter was in the room. Nevertheless, the authority of popes did get into church history. Does that mean God will never work with popes? Does that mean God hasn't worked with popes in the past? Actually, I believe God will work with popes. He tends to honor our paradigms and authority structures, even if they are below his ideal, not his original plan. Look at ancient Israel. They asked for a king. God told them they didn't need a king. He sent Samuel the prophet. He said, you don't need a king. God is your king. And they whined, well, the other nations have kings. Why can't we have a king? They whined, they begged, they pleaded. So God said, all right, you can have a king. He permitted it. It wasn't his ideal will. It was his permissive will. And obviously it wasn't a sin either, or there would have been no permission. Over the years, he did take great interest in those kings, however. He sent them prophets. He gave them commands. He warned them and rebuked them when they turned to evil. So yes, just as God worked with kings that he did not originally plan, he can work with popes that he did not originally plan. And over the many centuries of church history, some popes have been better than others. Once in a while, I have said to myself, you know, if you have to have a pope, this one isn't that bad. I'd like Pope John Paul, for example. Now, even though I have no problem with a pope being political, Leo goes out of his way to say that he's not political. And yet he tells people to call their congressmen and gives messages about laying down arms. He met with David Axelrod. He met with the governor of Illinois. It's not about whether he has a right. It's about whether he's telling the truth about his involvement. He warns about the dangers of climate change. He criticizes Trump's deportation policies. He said we don't need security zone borders from our neighbors. I guess he doesn't view that as a problem with the Vatican, since the Vatican is protected by both walls and armed security. And Trump gives blowback to all of this. Trump calls the Pope weak on crime. Trump calls the Pope terrible on foreign policy. And then the Pope responds to the response. He says, I'm not afraid of the Trump administration or of speaking out loudly about the message of the gospel, which is what the church works for. I will continue to speak out strongly against war, seeking to promote peace, promoting dialogue and multilateralism among states to find solutions to problems. We are not politicians. We don't deal with foreign policy with the same perspective if he might understand it, but I do believe in the message of the gospel as a peacemaker. Perhaps the most troubling statement the Pope has made about war, however, is this: God does not listen to the prayer of those who wage war. Really? Now, just what Bible is he reading? What about the second coming of Christ, where Christ will return as a warrior? What about the entire Old Testament, David and Goliath, which we all heard about in Sunday school, the many wars Israel had with the Philistines, God's very command to originally conquer the land of Canaan, to destroy idol worship and religion where human babies were sacrificed on the altar? Trump already raised the issue of people like Iran shouting death to America and yet getting a nuclear weapon, and the many Iranian protesters who were murdered in the streets by the thousands. Would the Pope have thought it was wrong to go to war against Hitler? Even Catholic theology has a just war theory. He's obviously aware of that, and I'm sure he reconciles that in his mind somehow. By the way, Iran has gone on record as saying that they agree with the Pope in his positions against Trump. Doesn't that tell you something right there? Doesn't that just speak volumes? Iran, a Muslim-run regime, And yet Muslim doctrine condemns Christianity, says Islam will conquer the world. So what's really going on is they're viewing the Pope as a useful idiot, which means they are not really respecting him, even though they're talking like they do. What's his opinion of the Civil War, which ended slavery? It goes on and on, folks. And there are other matters, other practices of this Pope that are incompatible with the Bible. Same-sex marriage is a hot issue today. He does say that he opposes same-sex marriage. He still espouses the church's position on that. But then he has blessed homosexual unions on a case-by-case basis. Well, if it's a sin, why is he blessing it? Offering forgiveness, saying God still loves you? Sure. But blessing it? Okay, once again, whether a pope speaks or does not speak with accuracy does not make or break my Christian convictions. Still, since it is so important to so many people, since so many people do follow him and look up to him, once in a while, it would be nice to have a pope with a moral compass. This is Bob Siegel, not speaking with any papal authority, but simply speaking as a man who makes the obvious obvious.
You only need to listen to this radio program once to figure out that Bob has very strong opinions on a wide variety of issues. But one of Bob's strongest passions is freedom of speech itself, even when such speech challenges his own convictions. So feel free to send Bob a comment or a thought-provoking question. You can reach Bob on Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Well, hold on to your seats. Another strained deal with Iran. The big deal may not go through after all. President Trump just finished them off and be done with it. Put them out of their misery. Put us out of our misery. Even if they sign something, they're not going to honor it. You know it. I know it. Everybody knows it. Let's just be done with this. Okay. Had to get that off my chest. Say hello to my producer, Brendan Thomas.
Heck, Iran has said publicly that they're not even going to show up to the meeting. So what's the
point?
They
say that, but then even if they didn't say that, it wouldn't matter. So what are we Mickey Mousing around for?
Exactly. So honestly, don't waste our tax dollars of flying out there. Just go ahead and just stay here.
Just be done with it. Exactly. Finish them off. I know there's a populace that wants to overthrow them, and I'm on their side. But as far as the regime goes, finish them off already.
I agree.
The same with Israel and Hezbollah. I understand that in Lebanon they're making deals, but Lebanon has no control over Hezbollah, and yet Trump's tying Israel's hand again, telling them not to go and honor the ceasefire. Let Israel finish off Hezbollah. Let us finish off Iran. Let's just finish it.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. Remind me next time, I got to make a Mike Friedenberg soundbite of him saying, well, I guess another slow leak.
We could just put that in our archives as a recurring voice. You know, Sean Hannity did that one time over the air. Mark Levin was talking to somebody. He goes, hey, get off the phone, you big dope. And Hannity thought that was so funny that he recorded it. He kind of plays it here and there, just like we play Sylvester with his shut up.
Yeah, and so many other great other ones. I have the comedy little drum set. I also have the Oscar applause. I'm just looking at my right. Oh, the psycho shower scene.
We use that all the time.
Well, today I wanted to talk about a few different stories. Don't worry, ladies and gentlemen. These are going to be some heavy stories to talk about because, man, oh, man, they get me so angry just reading them. But I promise the last segment is going to be a much more, I would say, fun because specifically it's the things that people will do in order to commit crimes. That's the last segment. So just a heads up on what's going to be talked about. But for now, let's talk about the Stop Nick Shirley Act. Now, that's not the name that's given, obviously, but it's a nickname that's given to this whole thing. This is a bill that's about to be, I don't know if pass is a word, but it's being proposed at least.
I think it will pass. I think anything insane in California is going to pass. You don't think this government, this Democratic legislature won't pass that thing?
No, I hope not at least. But
well, we all hope not, but good money says they're going to pass it.
For those who don't know, there's a conservative influencer by the name of Nick Shirley who is claiming that the California state legislator are trying to shut down anti-fraud investigations after he posted videos showing publicly assisted hospices in the state are being fraudulent.
Now, is this law trying to say that layman reporters can't do this stuff anymore?
Correct.
They have to be professional.
That's right.
Professional meaning somebody that they approve. Yes. And then next, if they work for Fox News or Salem, they won't be viewed as professional either, of course. That'll be the slippery slope.
And again, the criticisms on this bill, I couldn't agree with it more. I mean, it should be criticized. Here's a direct one from Carl DeMaio. He says, this is all about bullying and bankrupting citizen journalists. And then Kevin Kiley is also a representative from California. He's actually an independent, mind you. He's not Republican or Democrat. He's an independent. And he said specifically that there are already existing laws that already protect individuals from harassment.
Well, of course. And if our so-called independent in the tank, a professional media, was doing their job, we wouldn't need Nick Shirley's. But show me in the Constitution where it says that for you to enact free speech, you have to be a professional with a degree.
Right, exactly. And this has been proven over and over again in our own political world. I mean, look at Trump. No political background at all, and yet he is our president, and he's doing a fantastic job within our country in order to help protect it from foreign relations and within our economy. I don't know if you saw our stock prices. They're still going up at historic highs.
And they didn't outlaw all professional journalism back in the late 1990s when the New Republic admitted that many of their stories were just made up by one of their staff people. Did we see all journalism shut down or Democrats rush to make anti-journalism laws? Of course not.
You can even go further than that, Bob. I mean, you can look at Yale journalism back in the day when they faked a story about how a battleship was sunk and so we were forced to do a war with another country.
Yeah, we can look at the fake story about Hunter's laptop, about those
CIA officers that came on and claimed that this was fraudulent. And yet,
none of them had even looked at it.
And still, this has not yet stopped journalism, especially independent journalism for that matter. Independent journalism is still one of the most important key factors in news today. How do you think all this information gets leaked? Independent news journalists, they help bring it over to mainstream or major media outlets. Therefore, they could broadcast this story even more and have more people in the know of this information. Major news outlets are focused on specifically just the major news stories.
Yeah, but and these for smaller quite ones some time, they've been using a term called the new media, which has been talk radio, Fox News, the internet, other voices, other avenues for people to express themselves.
Exactly. Now, I do need to mention the person that's behind this bill. This is a bill sponsored by Assembly member Mia Bonta. If you don't know, she is the daughter of our attorney general, so makes sense. She said that, quote, the measure is intended to protect providers amid a currently tense political climate. Bonta has defended the measure, saying that it is designed to prevent prevent harassment or violence against immigrant service providers and would not bar journalists from asking legitimate questions.
They can't come up with one example of harassment. He knocks on people's doors. We've seen the tapes.
Yep.
And they say they're being harassed. And he says, how am I harassing you? This is supposed to be a child care center.
Yes.
I'm asking you a question. I'm standing outside your door. Where's the children? And they're going to call that harassment.
And then where's the violent part? The fact that, oh, you damaged my property by knocking my door.
Well, they've redefined violence. Did you hear about what happened in Minnesota where that woman that was working for Turning Point got attacked by a woman? And then her dad, this 250-pound Hulk, pushes her to the ground. So far, he has not been charged. And I'll tell you what's going to happen. They're going to say, well, her words were the violence.
Exactly.
What he did was just stopping the violence. That's how these morons go ahead and justify this stuff.
I wouldn't be surprised. And then quoting her, legitimate questions? That is so vague of a term. You know how I hate vague terminology when it comes to politics or any bill for that matter. Like,
if this was some liberal lay journalist, independent journalist, going after a conservative, do you think Sacramento would be passing a bill against that?
No, of course not.
Of course not. Who do they think they're kidding? How stupid do they think we are? Well, people are pretty stupid because these guys are still in power.
All right. And keep in mind, this is not just Nick Shirley that's putting out this information. Kentucky Representative James Comer has even gone out even last week by saying he found out specifically through his administration. For some reason, they're in L.A. specifically, but they said L.A. hospice fraud has gone up to $3.5 billion in just that area alone. Like, that is so ridiculous.
Well, when they found it in Minnesota and they said they were going to go to California next, I knew that would make Minnesota look like nothing.
Exactly.
By comparison.
Yeah. Now, speaking of California, I do have some bad news about our budget specifically, and I'll be telling more about that after this commercial break, so stay tuned. This is The Bob Siegel Show.
Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in three serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
Bob Siegel's novels may start out looking like typical stories, but in no time at all, they go directions you would never have dreamed about. Just listen to the premise of Bob Siegel's unusual story, Choice of the Lorelei. Martha Flannery, an aggressive missionary, sets out for the Frisian Islands to convert the newly discovered tribe called Reinu. Here she enters into a strong battle of wills with Dr. Connors, a cultural anthropologist who wants to protect the Reinu people from outside influence, especially evangelism. Connors' strange manners and obsession with the Reinu are only the first of several eerie mysteries, including previous visitors to the island who never returned home, and an elderly gentleman claiming to be 4,000 years old. Choice of the Lorelei. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Good to be with you this evening. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello again to my producer, Brendan Thomas.
So in the last segment, I ended up telling about how $3.5 billion have been wasted in Los Angeles alone on these fraudulent situations that are going on over there, specifically, again, the hospice care.
The moment they pay the mayor of L.A. or the governor of the state, that's like fraudulent money being spent right there.
That's
because
true.
You know what they're doing for their jobs? Nothing.
Yep, exactly. It's just hurting the country in general. But now we have even worse news than that. California has more of a deficit than projected after Governor Newsom's administration miscalculated the state budget this year. So as previously reported on the Bob Siegel Show, we reported that there was a $2.9 billion budget deficit that we were going to be facing in this upcoming budget. However, accounting errors that were related to the state's retirement system of CalPERS, it's actually $2 billion more now. So we are at $4.9 billion of a budget deficit this year. Now keep in mind, Newsom is supposed to be passing out a state budget beginning at the end of May. So he has only a little bit of time to help put out a new budget, especially with this new deficit being found. Gabe Petick, who leads the state legislative analysis office, confirmed the accounting mistakes to local media on Friday. Democratic leaders kept the $2 billion accounting mistake under wraps after Petick's office flagged the issue in a memo to state lawmakers in February, mind you. The first error involved double counting CalPERS contribution rates for the upcoming year, which was $1.6 billion of a miscalculation. The second issue involved another rate that was miscalculated where the LAO stated the mistake amounted about $450 million. Now, according to Petick himself, he said, given the size and the complexity of California's budget, it's not uncommon that we come across errors stemming from the calculation mistakes and formula errors, etc. Indeed, part of the role of our office is to serve as a check on the administration's budget calculations. So, in the case of this CalPERS example, we did identify a double counting error, and given this error is on the larger side, we notified the legislator of their situational awareness. Newsom's administration on Friday, however, denied there was any error in their state budget, they said. This isn't a calculation error, it's a revision, is what they like to call it. It's like, what? Seriously, now you're just joking with me about this whole situation. We told legislative leaders back in February that we would update how we estimate these payments once this issue was identified. We've already made the adjustment. It will be reflected in the revised budget that Newsom will pass next month. This administration continues to track record of lacking transparency, preferring to keep the legislator and the public in the dark to avoid having to justify cuts and spending millions of their pet projects, according to Assembly member David Tainipa from Fresno, who is also the vice chairman of the Assembly's Budget Committee. So I think he deserves some of the blame too, because he said he was not under wraps. I think he was. Being part of the budget committee, he would know ahead of time how much money was miscalculated in this whole situation.
So I'm trying to get this. First, they were denying the error, but now they're admitting it and saying they were on top of it all the time.
Exactly, yeah. Which is a political move like crazy.
Sounds like that jerk governor in Minnesota.
Yeah, exactly. Now, local media did reach out to Democratic legislative leaders and lawmakers who led the budget committees in the Assembly and State Senate and asked why they did not notify the public about the miscalculation. One of them was Assembly Speaker Robert Rives, who said, quote, "This is a standard practice. These are tracked in January and May budget revisions from the administration. When asked to clarify if it is standard practice to not let people know when billions are miscalculated, Sisney just repeated his previous statement." So again, they have a certain script that they're going to be following. I live in a middle-class family, middle-class lawn, middle-class house, middle-class mom, all that stuff. A spokesperson for the leader of the state budget committee, State Senator John Laird, a Democrat from Santa Cruz, referred to the legislative analyst's office in Newsom's Department of Finance for any comments. He refused to answer any other questions. Negotiations on the state spending plan are set to ramp up next month, as stated before that this is going to be Governor Newsom's final proposed budget in May coming up. And state senators have been preparing to deal with a significant budget shortfall this upcoming year and expecting to see even heavier deficits in the years to come. So, again, we're overspending in the state of California. What a surprise.
Well, that's not exactly news.
Yeah, exactly.
How about that train? Any news on the train?
I haven't heard news on that
one
either.
What's the amount of money that's been poured into that nightmare?
All I'm going to say is that I still think Newsom is a heavy favorite to win for the presidential election.
Oh, I don't think so.
You don't?
No.
Okay. I think so.
Like
even
I said,
this,
I think it's an unknown or somebody that's not big in the spotlight. I don't know who, but it's an unknown.
Yeah. I personally think it's Newsom. I think he's very schemy. He's very sly. And the public just isn't aware
but
of this.
But if he goes up against J.D. Vance in a debate, Vance will have him for lunch.
I would like to think that, but...
I know he's slick, but he's not that slick.
We tried throwing DeSantis at him.
I didn't think DeSantis did a bad job, although no. he was slick against DeSantis, I must say.
But that's the thing. Conservative side, they'll say, oh yeah, DeSantis won that one. But then the liberal side said, no.
By the way, did you hear about his book that he wrote that nobody was buying, and then his campaign staff ordered copies, gave them out free, so now it's shown up on the New York Times bestseller list.
It's not the first time.
I give out free copies of my books too, but I don't count them as sales for Pete's sakes.
And not to mention on top of that, like, I'm not surprised. I've heard of this happening before with other authors, even outside the political realm, but it's just sad. It's really sad when that kind of situation occurs, for sure. Well, my next story, we're not done with the state of California. As we know, July 4th is coming up. We're celebrating 250 years as a country.
Oh, and I'm sure the patriotic state of California can't wait to celebrate the greatness of our nation.
Well, I can't wait to tell you about this story because it's definitely going to be hurting some feelings out there. But I'll tell you more about it when we come back to the Bob Siegel Show.
Bob Siegel. Looking for a church? Maybe not. Perhaps you've had your fill of churches. Maybe you even grew up in the church. Maybe as a kid you were dragged to Sunday school against your will. Maybe you used to throw spit wads as Mrs. Pumpernickel tried desperately to interest you in the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. You may have grown up listening to long sermons, anxiously looking at your watch to see how much of the game you were missing at home on TV as the pastor made his 97th point. Or perhaps you were not raised as a Christian at all. Instead, you have merely encountered Christians. Maybe some obnoxious personality tried to shove the gospel down your throat using all the tact of a lawnmower in a barber shop. Well, my friend, perfect Christians don't exist because perfect people don't exist. That's why Jesus died for our sins. So I'm not going to tell you that the people of Skyline Church are perfect. I'm just going to tell you that we come real close. No, actually, you'll just find people who struggle with life the same as you. But we're honest about the struggle, and we help each other with the struggle. What you will find is a church that takes the love of Jesus Christ seriously. After all, his message is one of mercy and inclusion, and we don't need 97 points to talk about God. Ask anybody. Our sermons have never made more than 96 points.
Skyline Church.
Broadway soundtrack of Camelot by Lerner and Lowe, the people that brought us My Fair Lady, a great musical. The film is even better than the Broadway play. Say hello again to my producer, Brendan Thomas.
Do you find that that's a regular, the Broadway play is better than the movie or vice versa?
I usually find it in reverse, with some exceptions, certainly, but you can do so much more in a film, like The Sound of Music. How do you see the Swiss Alps on a stage?
It's true. It's very
true. You need the Swiss Alps, and there was so much more they could do with the car chases at the end and the Nazis. I think a good movie will flesh it out.
I would say in terms of soundtrack, obviously musicals are going to be much better than
movies.
Well,
of course, and of course with Broadway, Camelot, it was Julie Andrews, Robert Goulet, Richard Burton, virtually unknowns for the movie, although they're very well known now, Richard Harris, Vanessa Redgrave. But Alan J. Lerner, who wrote the book for Broadway and wrote the screenplay for the movie, he said something I'll never forget. He said, as a writer, there's nothing like being given a second chance. And he really did improve that script. It's good on Broadway. It's great as a movie.
All right. Well, I'll take a look at that one day for sure.
Oh, by the way, Dana and I saw a movie this weekend, which you had not seen it, but you mentioned that it was coming, about The Great Awakening.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my gosh. It's a fantastic movie. It's so...
Is that the one about Benjamin Franklin?
Benjamin Franklin, who was not... He had a great respect for Christianity. Where he stood religiously was kind of quasi, but he had this great relationship with George Whitefield, who came over and was very responsible for The Great Awakening, this huge revival in our country right Absolutely. Before the Revolutionary War. Just a fantastic movie.
All right.
And a beautiful sound. They sing this hymn, which I thought was an old hymn from those days, restored. They wrote it for the movie, but they made it sound like it had been written in those days. And it's just, I'm not a big lover of hymns, but this one was just beautiful.
So definitely go see it in theaters. Don't wait till it goes to streaming.
Yeah, see it in the theater. See it the way the good Lord intended it to be seen.
I agree. All right. Well, as we know, July 4th is coming up. One of my favorite things, obviously, you have the barbecues, you have the family, the camaraderie, the patriotism.
But the Democrats saying stupid things about it and saying we should celebrate No King's Day instead.
Yeah. Well, instead today, one of my other things that I love about 4th of July are the fireworks. And California has been stingent on that thing. That is not
going to be... Tribute to global warming, too.
Exactly, that sort of thing, or air pollution, which they can't seem to figure out how to fix.
The only pollution is the pollution that comes out of their mouths when they talk.
Yes, exactly. Well, in this case, there was a 4th of July celebration that was going to be celebrated up in Long Beach. This was going to be by an organizer by the name of John Morris, who's also a local business owner there in that area, too. He said, quote, this community is going to pay for everything. The city fees, the city doesn't even give us a break. We pay the $20,000 to the city for police and fire, which I'm fine with, because there's 100,000 people enjoying the fireworks. He said he was going to be funding the whole thing, too. We raised, for the past 14 years, $2 million for kids programs here in Long Beach. This was a fully funded by the local community show that was going to be up. But, however, the California Coastal Commission reared its ugly head and said, no, you cannot do that.
Well, now,
that
wait a minute. So it's coming from California. Does that mean we're not going to have fireworks anywhere in the state, or just Long Beach?
Just Long Beach, because I got this interesting story for you here.
So we can still have them in San Diego.
Well, here's the thing. SeaWorld went to the California Coastal Commission, and they were able to get a pass. But this
guy probably gave
a
donation to Newsom's.
Oh, you know it. You absolutely know it.
It was like when he was shutting down restaurants, but Panera Bread stayed open. Coincidentally, they had been giving to his campaign.
Here's what Morris had to say about this whole thing. Morris said that, quote, SeaWorld got commissioned and was granted to allow 40 nights of fireworks a year. I'm only asking 20 minutes in one night, and they said no because of the pollution. It's ridiculous.
So how did they justify allowing SeaWorld and not Long Beach?
They did not. Here's what one of the coastal representatives said. They said, quote, this is Joshua Smith, a spokesman for the California Coastal Commission, saying his concern was to protect the bay next to Long Beach.
We have a bay next to SeaWorld that's called Mission Bay.
Yep, true. Smith said Morris was approved to permit a drone show in lieu of fireworks. They said that it would cost $200,000, which is four times more than traditional fireworks. However, when pressed with the discrepancy of the SeaWorld case, he reiterated that decisions are made individually and declined to provide further details.
Of course he declined to answer, because there is no answer.
Exactly. When you're back into the corner like that of somebody else making a great point and you're like, I'm done with your questions. What was the girl's name again? Porter, Katie Porter.
Yeah, this interview's over.
Why are we
You're
going to
ask me follow-up questions? This interview's over.
I'm done. I can't do follow-up questions. How dare you? Morris said that the loss of fireworks will be felt across the community, especially from local businesses. Even local restaurants that have the fireworks right next to their show said that each and every year so far after the fireworks show has been canceled, they have lost 30% of revenue within the city. So
anything which is fun, anything that brings joy, from sports to fireworks, the Democrats will find some way to ruin it.
Now, don't get me wrong. I think drone shows are cool looking still, too, as much as the
I'd rather see fireworks than a drone show.
I agree. Not to mention, the amount of power you have to charge a drone.
Yeah, fireworks aren't trying to take over the world like drones are.
You're absolutely right on that one, Bob.
I'm just waiting for the first drone that talks like Schwarzenegger.
The last fireworks...
We are going to conquer the world!
I feel like the last time fireworks were used in order to be a weapon was back in China. Ancient China back in the day.
Hey, yeah, we got to give China credit for that. I'm not too happy with China these days, but the fireworks, the sweet and sour shrimp, I'll give credit where credit is due.
You know what? Honestly, too, if you look back on it, a lot of inventions come from China. Ice cream came from China.
Well, they know how to eat. I'll give them that.
love Chinese food.
There you go. Somebody's
out there probably thinking that was a racist remark because I said I loved Chinese food.
They're going to take it that way.
They're going to take it that way. Yeah.
Just to show you the hypocrisy of the state of California, we don't want this one night alone, this one person who has a show that's for charity, mind you, for kids. We don't want him to be firing fireworks. But SeaWorld, a corporate business, 40 nights, 1 year, you can absolutely do it. You're even closer to the bay.
I would be absolutely shocked if this isn't because SeaWorld has been giving money to the governor.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, well, we are down to our last segment. When I come back, I have some actually funny stories to tell you. It's some of the silliest crimes you have ever heard. But yes, these are true, and these are happening in the state of California as well. So I'll tell you about those stories when we come back to the Bob Siegel Show.
Not sure when to try an unusual novel? Let the customers speak for themselves. Here is another Amazon customer review for Bob Siegel's latest book, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. While there is nothing in this book that would stop you from giving it to or reading it to your kids, this book will certainly hold an adult's interest as well. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament has it all. Magic, talking cats, bullies who get their comeuppance, fun dialogue, and a good story. Do not let the title fool you. While Christmas does play a prominent role, this is really not a Christmas story, and it can be read at any time of the year. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. Did you know that SDCC has been training servant leaders since 1970? That's over 50 years of making an impact. Our degree and certificate programs blend academic excellence with a Christian worldview. Whether you're a traditional age college student or a working professional who wants to complete their degree or certificate program, we may be a match for you. Learn more at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College, over 50 years in the making.
Host Bob Siegel, please join me now for one more segment with my producer, Brendan Thomas.
Well, we are down to our last segment, and I told you I'm going to end it on some funny notes here for a little bit here.
Stupid, funny.
Yes, exactly. Jarrell Augustine is the person's name. He's a 28-year-old from Paramount, California. He allegedly swapped Lego bricks for dry pasta and returned 70 boxes to Target for $34,000 in refunds. So this is how he did his scheme. He bought a
He bought $34,000 worth? How did he get that much for a refund?
I will tell you.
Legos.
Yeah, so he bought a $400 Lego Star Wars set, pour the bricks out, and refill the box with dry pasta, which rattles just enough to fool a return clerk, reseal it, and then bring it back for a full refund.
Yeah, but aren't they just refunding him money he had paid? Where is he making his profit?
It says here that he would fraudulently go to other stores where they're selling them higher at other stores to gain the money.
But did he have a sales slip for that store? That sounds...
He would have receipts, and those receipts specifically are corporate side. So, and you could return it to any Target you
but
want.
But wouldn't the receipts still show what he paid on it, and wouldn't they want to reverse it on his credit card? It's hard to believe he got away with that.
I think the store policy of Target is they price match what they have. As a return policy, they would price match that specifically. Now, the other thing I do want to point out is that investigators identified the pasta he used, which is the silliest thing. They said he used dried durum wheat semolina pasta to
Where
mimic...
Where was he discovered? Did one of the store clerks open up a box finally and pour it out?
And then poured it out, or at least the customers would complain about it.
I don't know. Sounds like pasta to me when I shake it.
The investigator said this is the kind of pasta that best mimics the weight and the sound of Lego bricks shifting inside a sealed box. This is the silliest thing I'm ever reading in my life.
This wasn't exactly the perfect crime.
No. Irvine police say that the resident ran the playbook around 70 times at Target stores across the nation, specifically California, Texas, Tennessee, New Jersey, and Florida, netting about $34,000 in fraudulent refunds before officers tracked him to a Los Angeles County apartment on April 15th. And found unboxed bricks stockpiled inside. I should repeat myself. What he's doing is he's reselling the Lego blocks without the box in order to make a profit. And then he's returning the boxes of pasta in order to get the extra money.
Oh, I see. That makes a lot more sense.
Yes. Now, the targets weren't random, they said, according to investigators. They said he used Star Wars sets and Marvel sets because, specifically, they have a high value in the secondary market. So he was even getting more profit from
there.
What
is his sentence going to be?
They have not stated yet. They just arrested the
person.
Well,
after he gets out of jail with all this fraud, there's a good job waiting for him in Sacramento. He should have no worries.
He's going to talk about the stupid...
He'll be behind that Nick Shirley law.
I want to know, like, when he goes to jail, they'll say, what are you in for? Oh, I was loitering, and then you go to him. He goes, I was part of a Lego scheme.
They'll probably have to explain to him that his cell won't be built from Legos.
That's probably true. Now here's the other story that's really, really so silly. There's four people that are involved in this insurance scam involving a bear suit. Yes, a bear suit, ladies and gentlemen. A California bear suit and a pair of metal claws shaped handle with the bear costume. They called this Operation Bear Claw, where a person in a bear suit faked attacks on Rolls Royce and two Mercedes and then submitted fraudulent insurance claims. These claims would go
up. Did they video the bear attacking the car?
That is correct, yes, in order to get the insurance claim. The payouts were going to be nearly $142,000, they said. Two Los Angeles area men and a woman pleaded no contest to the felony insurance fraud and were sentenced to a weekend jail program followed by probation, and department said in a news release Thursday. Two of them were ordered to pay over $50,000 in restitution. The fourth person faces a court hearing in September with more serious charges to boot. So he must have been the mastermind, this one person, and so we're going to see how long he's going to be in jail for that matter. The group is accused of providing several videos from the San Bernardino Mountains of a bear moving inside the vehicles to the insurance companies as part of their damage claims, the department said. Now, this is the most silliest thing I've ever heard, but the insurance companies put in a report to the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, and they brought in a biologist into the courtroom to review the footage, and he concluded, "That's clearly a human in the bear suit," end quote.
I'm surprised these geniuses didn't just submit a Yogi Bear cartoon.
They should have.
Smarter than the average bear.
And they still probably would have gotten the payouts, possibly. But after executing a search warrant, detectives found the bear costume in the suspect's home, along with the metal claw-shaped handles inside the closet inside the house as well. So, again, four of the stupidest people I've ever heard. Like, usually this usually comes out of Florida, because I always hear, like, the morning shows are like, here's your Florida stupid people, and they have some of the craziest stories.
Judge
but no.
Jeanine Pirro used to host a Fox show called Stupid Crimes.
Uh-huh.
Or some kind of title like that.
Do you remember any cases off the top of your head?
No, I don't. I remember seeing some of them. I don't recall what they are offhand.
I remember one crime was specifically a person was stealing an Almond Joy bar. An Almond Joy bar.
It's not worth going to jail for an Almond Joy bar, folks.
Definitely not.
I like them too, but it's not worth going to jail for
I personally don't like Almond Joys, but that's just a separate comment. But I remember the story was he stole the Almond Joy bar. The person kept saying, hey, come back. He starts speeding away, but then he decides to turn around and then crash his car into the gas station anyways to try to prove a point of like, you shouldn't stop me. I'm going to have this Almond Joy bar and enjoy it and stuff like that. That was his quote in the court case. So it shakes your head at some of these people, but man, California is starting to reach that limit, it feels like, whether in a political realm or in the public realm, unfortunately. So, well, Bob, thank you so much for this time with you on the air.
Brendan, it's always a pleasure.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the law offices of Matthew Simone.